Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Galit Saporta, a analyst at Forter. Galit, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So this is our series on really getting inside the personas of the cyber criminal in an effort to really understand who they are and what motivates them, because as we've learned in working with you at Forter, they aren't just a faceless, nameless glump of people. They each have own personalities and personas and apply their craft very differently to the online merchant world. So we talked about the teen fraudster. That was scary. Now we're going to talk about the unfriendly local fraudster. And I first want to understand what you mean by unfriendly and local. I mean, I guess maybe there are some fraudsters, but they all seem unfriendly to me. But what is the particular characteristic of the unfriendly local fraudster that you think we need to understand better?
Well, I'd start with the word local, because I think that's the biggest challenge to most fraud systems. We see a specific pattern of behavior among domestic fraud criminals who are they don't need to hide much on the technological aspects. But they need to make an effort and adjust their behavior in order to mimic that of a legitimate customer who's just shopping on the website that they want to crack. These are the often fraudsters who did gain some experience after spending some time as being teenage or just non-professional fraudsters, and now they are trying to make a living of it and to really buy as much product as they can in order to sell them from the back of their van somewhere, usually.
Wow. So what kind of tools and techniques does this particular type of fraudster use? Because it sounds like this is perhaps the entry level fraudster, based on your description. So it's not a super sophisticated fraudster, but obviously a step above the teen fraudster that's just maybe playing around more than they are looking to do a lot of damage.
I agree with you on the note that they aren't the most sophisticated fraudsters we've seen, but they do have a big advantage, being that they are usually located in the country of the merchant or even the state of the merchant that they are looking to scheme. And that means that they have a lot of tools available for them. It's like the fraudster next door who is knocking, and that guy can get access to a variety of drop-off points and reshipping options that third world countries aren't going to be familiar with, and that's a big plus for this type of fraudsters.
When you say local, that's advantage of local, is that they know geography and they can intercept and change addresses, shipping addresses and things like that, that allow them to take physical possession of the merchandise and then resell it.
Correct.
Wow.
That means a lot in terms of their agility and also in terms of their ability to manage to get one bad transaction through, rejoice with their success, and then have another 10 transactions through the door long before the merchant has already realized that the products have been shipped to a bad person.
Wow. So I asked you before, when we talked about the teen fraudster, to rate on a scale of 1 to 10 their their ability to really cause problems for merchants. Obviously, all fraud causes problems for merchants, but there are, you know, there's the spectrum of danger, of being dangerous. How would you rate this particular unfriendly local fraudster, and why?
It's a trick question because each merchant and each risk system has its own vulnerabilities. We've seen lots of cases where these specific merchants, these specific fraud types have been proved to be the most dangerous. And for other cases, then sophisticated fraudsters were the ones more risky. I would say for the fashion industry, and its surrounding area, these are the types, sometimes even for electronics and gadgets, these are the types of fraudsters who are repeatedly attacking, and they are very serious in their intention to succeed.
So do they just keep trying different merchants and different merchant segments in the local geography? Do they ever step up and become unfriendly cross-border fraudsters?
Some of them do. Some of them will move onwards to being something more of a multi-channel fraudster who is looking more into gift cards because that's more easily, it translates more easily into cash. Some of them will be early adopters of technology and will go into mobile, which is something that we also encounter with teenagers. This is not necessarily, just like you said, it's not a faceless bulk of people. There are lots of different behaviors we see in this type of fraud.
Are there specific things that merchants should be aware of that would tip them off to this kind of fraudulent activity?
I need to be careful with my answer because I don't want to be talking about simplistic red flag indicators. They are often very misleading. The thing to do usually with any type of fraud, but definitely with this type of bulk purchases that originate from the local fraudsters, is that the merchant should be able to get a very clear picture of the legitimate behavior characterizing good customers on their website, so that a reseller or an affiliate program, whatever, isn't mistaken for a local fraud. That's I think the biggest risk with local fraudsters. If you're selling, Ralph Lauren fashion items, and one day you see a big rise of sales on your and traffic and sales on your website, is that a good thing? Is it an opportunity, or is it a potential risk of fraud? You don't want to miss out on the opportunity if these are good orders, and you don't want the risk of fraud. The thing is, the behavior are very similar, and I can't really go into depth about the nuances that can make them more easily detectable.
So one of the things that we talked about when we talked about the teen fraudster was the method. So the pattern the methods that they use to commit fraud. Teenage fraudster, you know, may start out with taking credentials from family members, maybe even find their way on the dark web and pick off credit card numbers that these organized cyber criminal sites make available to an unsophisticated fraudster. What's the typical method for these guys?
Well, they definitely graduated from the phase of looking for burnt, used-up cards that don't even have the limits, the credit limit that they need. These are the guys who are going to invest more money into buying the credit card, stolen credit cards and stolen credentials that they can really work with. And their attitude is more of a business. They are really financially and very likely emotionally invested in the fraud factory that they're running. Just because it's fraud doesn't mean it's not their day job, really.
Mm-hmm. And because they're local, are they easier to catch?
I'm afraid on the contrary. Because they're local, some of them are often more aware of the need to hide. And they, unlike the teenagers who will sometimes use their own name, but then nobody will go after them because they're teenagers, local fraudsters are usually very careful about that. And when they're professionals, and they will try to use some other methods of concealing their identity.
Is this the bulk of the cyber criminal population, or is this a small sliver of it? How would you, if you had to look at the ecosystem of cybercrime and say the unfriendly local fraudster is, what percentage would you guesstimate of the overall picture?
I'm afraid it's very hard to say. It's a very, very dynamic world. And while I think it's a fairly significant chunk, specifically in the industry and electronics segments, in the fashion and electronics segment, I don't think that I have even the ballpark number that I can throw and think that it's going to stay the same next month.
Wow. Well, it's a fascinating conversation that provides important insight into different personas because they practice their craft very differently. And I think it just underscores the importance of understanding that, because clearly the fraud techniques that need to be employed need to take those differences and those personalities into account. Becomes very important to do the work on behalf of the merchants very carefully. Well, Glee, thank you very much for this insight. I hope I never meet the unfriendly local fraudster. They don't sound very nice.
I hope that we all meet only nice people and friendly neighbors.
I agree. Well, listen, thanks again for your time. It was great to catch up. Thank you.
Thank you.